Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
You're very welcome back. It's Tom Dunn standing in for Sean today. 53106 for your text, or you can email afternoon@newstalk.com. I'm joined in the studio by Barbara Scully. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. And how's it going, Tom?
Declan Buckley, who has had two coffees.
I've had two coffees today and I am high as a kite.
So this may affect your advice today. Just for
I don't know. Really, my advice is never really that good anyway. So
I wasn't going to say that. Good lad.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
The audience will be the judge.
Yes. Because I have to say, they're great questions.
Good
today.
Questions.
They
yes,
really
they
are. Will we kick off? Do you know what? They all make great headlines.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So the first one isn't one of the great headlines, but the next two really are. But this is a lazy boyfriend. I love my boyfriend, and we've had four mostly very happy years together. And of course, I was thrilled when he proposed to me, but now I'm having some small reservations. The problem is, he's profoundly lazy. I don't mean he just sits on the couch all day lazy. I mean, he actually puts thought and effort to teach the cat to turn the sitting room light on and off, where he now insists on sleeping. He shines a laser pointer at the light switch and the cat then jumps, trying to swat the red dot, which of course turns on or off the light for him. Should I just put up with this slothful behaviour, or should I cut and run? Wow. Buy crisps and admire this man's work is what I would do. But yes. Anyway.
I kind of feel a little bit the same. I mean, you know, I think she needs to teach him to get the cat to do more tricks. Like, cats are kind of inscrutable, contrary creatures. Very hard to teach a cat to do anything. Although the woman who used to service our two coffees, she told me once that she'd taught the cat to use the toilet and flush it.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But anyway.
I never believe those stories. Unless I see a video of the cat actually flushing the toilet. I'm sorry.
You're going to love YouTube.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. You'll never be out there. Tom Dunn disappeared into YouTube.
I'll write down that. Yeah, YouTube. Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. Y-O-U.
I'll check that one later.
But I mean, in fairness, like, I don't think he's actually taught the cat anything, because cats go mental for lasers anyway. So all the cat's doing is chasing a laser, which he happens to point at the light switch. So don't give him any credit for even teaching the cat to do a trick, because I don't think he has. But this letter is kind of short on detail. I mean, she says that he's profoundly lazy, but that's it. Like, does he have a job? Does he have to get up during the day and go out to work?
Is he sleeping in the sitting room?
Yes, this is the one. This is, now we're at it. That's the bit. It's in brackets in the letter. Yeah. Everything else is kind of this irrelevant. I'm not sure whether she's bragging or whether she's complaining. But then she goes, where he now insists on sleeping.
Yeah, I think there's more going on here than it's a lazy boyfriend.
Like, and the boyfriend is sleeping in the sitting room. Is he also in there all day?
With the cat.
With the cat.
Yeah, I think the problem here is your woman's actually jealous of the cat. I don't think it's the lazy boyfriend. I think this guy loves his cat more than he loves her. Hence, he's sleeping on the sofa, teaching the cat or playing with the cat with the laser.
Yeah.
And he's very happy with the cat and he's not talking to her. And she's feeling, understandably, a little bit left out. Because I can't understand why she would write to us telling us that her boyfriend is lazy without telling us how he's lazy, other than the fact that he sleeps on the sofa and he plays with the cat.
And
so the problem is really jealousy.
Did it take her 4 years to notice he's lazy?
I don't know.
No, I'm going to just jump in here and laziness or, you know, creative problem solving. What's going on here? Because, I mean, look, he's decided that he doesn't want to get up out of the sofa. So he's trained the cat.
He hasn't trained the cat, though. He hasn't.
The cat is doing his will.
No, the cat is not doing his will. The cat is chasing
the cat is
a laser.
Turning the lights off and on, and he doesn't have to get up out of his seat. Ergo, he is saving his energy, and he's, you know, he's created something. He's like the JML kind of labor saving device. He's like, that's the pinnacle of human endeavor is, you know, we've spent, civilization is all about saving energy and creating these ways to do more with less effort. So this guy is actually,
I admire this
something.
Man.
Yeah, no,
but would you marry him? Would you marry him?
Probably not.
After 4 years.
But you see, does he have a job? That's what I want to know. Is he, if he's going out and doing a day's work and then coming home and lazing on the sofa with the cat playing with the laser?
He's going to invent something and make a million. You know, he's going to do something, you know, one of his torpid tricks that you call
them. What
does torpid mean?
Kind of laid-back,
lazy kind of thing.
Yes.
I think the fact that he has a good relationship with his cat speaks volumes.
Okay.
I like people who like animals.
Marry him.
So I think he sounds like a nice guy. But I think, you know, so before I'm willing to tell her to cut and run, You'd need more information. All at right. the moment, he seems like an interesting kind of guy.
I think she's totally into him. This whole letter reads like somebody saying, oh, you're going to think he's lazy, but I think he's brilliant. And here's an example of how funny he is.
So, but the bottom line is she doesn't really have a problem. Does
no,
she?
No, she doesn't.
And this guy needs to be applauded. She should be delighted she's with somebody who can teach a cat these kind of tricks.
Yeah.
He's a complete waster. She shouldn't be with him. 53160 text. By the way, it's Tom Dunn standing in for Sean today. Barbara and Declan are with us in the slot, so you think you're an adult. And we're on to the first of the great headlines. I'm annoyed at my sister for getting married. I've been planning my dream wedding for the last 2.5 years. I should have been married by now, but we had to postpone to 2021 due to COVID-19. My sister got engaged while in lockdown with her boyfriend, and we're so happy for her. However, during the week, she surprised us all by saying that the wedding is in 2 weeks' time. They're doing a rush job on it. It's such a whirlwind. I do my best to stay happy for her, but I can't help but feel she's stepping on my toes and stealing my thunder somewhat. Mm-hmm. I got engaged first, and I've been planning such a beautiful day. She has seen how upset I have been. The focus is now all about her and this rushed wedding. I've checked and she's not pregnant.
I love that line. I've checked and she's not pregnant.
I don't know why she couldn't wait. She's also not having any bridal party, so I'm not even a bridesmaid, though she is one of mine. I feel she should have waited her turn. I think I'm going to have to say this to her, even if it's after her wedding. I am too annoyed.
I'm too annoyed. I'm too annoyed at reading that, because I mean, like, you know, I'm not very good with these bridezilla type scenarios.
Yes, that's why I told you should go first.
I get kind of exasperated because it's you know, this problem is rooted in somebody's conception of how things are meant to be. It's kind of this kind of Jane Austen, you know, we get married in order and we get married well. And if the oldest doesn't get married well, then the second doesn't and the third doesn't and the world is ruined. I think that she needs to just get over herself, you know. And also, she's not recognising all of the things that her sister, who may be, in inverted commas, skipping over the order, is giving her space to do her wedding in her way by not doing that. She's not having the hen party, whatever she, the bridal party. She's not having any of these things, which means the distinction between both of their events are going to be
huge,
different.
Huge.
So I think her sister is being more mindful of her than she's recognizing, and I think that the writer is being a bit of a
self-centered person.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd broadly agree with that. I mean, you know, I got annoyed just reading the letter, you know, thinking, what the hell? Get a grip on reality, girl. But then, again, trying to see it from a wider perspective, I feel that this girl, the woman who wrote to us, is angry, but perhaps she's actually focused on the wrong thing. She thinks it's her sister that's made her angry because the sister's going for a much reduced wedding than her vision in her head of a wedding. But I, you know, to bring some seriousness into it, I do think that this whole crisis we're living through and the fact that she can't have the wedding that she actually wants, mm-hmm. which is the full big bells and whistles job, and she doesn't know when she's going to be able to have that wedding.
Yeah.
That's I'm hard. Sure making a lot of couples angry at the moment. Like the fact that we have to postpone things that we really want to celebrate and that we really want to mark, big life events. But not only have we to postpone them, we have no idea when we're really going to be able to actually make those things happen. That is very hard for a lot of people to deal with. And I'm wondering if that isn't the root cause of her anger and she has misdirected it at her sister, who has decided that she can live with the reduced wedding and the no bridal party. And obviously having, I don't know how many people it'll be reduced to by in a few weeks time, but having, you know, two people at her wedding, and she's going to go ahead with that. And I think that's what this is about. Mm. I think it's not really, I don't think she's really as bridezilla-y as perhaps we might have thought initially.
Because she does come across quite.
She does, but yes. I kind of think there's an underlying kind of frustration and anger, which I'm sure an awful lot of people.
But if you're going to generalize that out, though, you've got to recognize that there are people who are going to be angry and bitter about what's happening in the real world because of COVID-19, and there are going to be people who are going to pivot a little bit and make little changes and try to create.
Never thought I'd hear you use that such an
I'm a dancer,
word as pivot.
I use pivot all the time.
Oh, you always use pivot.
Yeah, and box step.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I thought
really
was the
surprised at you. Carry on.
But so what I'm saying is that the younger sister who's doing the fast wedding under the reduced kind of scenario, the kind of COVID friendly wedding, it's kind of showing the way that you can actually do these things. You might be able to have your big Harry and Meghan style kind of
Oh, that's a bit mean. Like, some people just want a wedding to have their friends there and all their family rather than just mom and dad and my sisters and their boyfriends and that's it. And I think that's understandable.
Yeah, step but what I'm saying is not is the fact that the world we're in right now is limited, and we have to find ways to make the limited thing work for us and give us satisfaction, as opposed to grieving for the world that's past, because that's just going to end up everybody being angry and.
Right. We'll give you some the listeners are saying, I got engaged first. Does the texter even hear herself? Yeah. Tell the girl to cop on. 100% selfish. Just be happy for your sister and get over yourself. Barbara's really giving this one the benefit of the doubt. It's not like her day is cancelled. It's just postponed. Her day will come and it won't matter. Announce who went first. Every person's wedding is different. I think you're right on the misplaced anger, you know that?
I think, yeah, no.
I think there's a lot of that around.
I think there is a lot of that around, you know, I really do. And I feel sorry for young people, like young adults and young people in college and young people, they're leaving search results. I think, you know, there's a lot about this that is really difficult.
Yeah. Keep your text coming, 53106. It's Tom Dunn standing in for Sean today. We've Barbara and Declan with us for So You Think You're an Adult. And this is a headline from the National Enquirer. For this one. Husband earns more money than I do. I'm looking for some advice on an issue that's caused me so much annoyance and bitterness in my marriage over the last few years. My husband earns a load of money in his job. Don't get me wrong, he works hard to get this. I, on the other hand, earn a pittance in the public sector compared to him. He's recently started working for himself and he is rolling in the cash. It's just become such an issue for me. I'm very resentful of the fact that he's such a high earner and I'm constantly broke. I hate when he starts talking about his job or money he's earning and any investments he's recently made. I realise I'm sounding like a right bitter bitch over this whole thing, but it drives me mad. He's excellent to pay his share of things and the house and the bills, etc. But I just feel now that we're not on the same wavelength at all. He's very driven by career and money, and I'm more of a work to live kind of girl. My wages are gone and stuff for me and the kids as soon as I get them. I just feel that my husband and I are living in two different worlds and mixing in totally different work environments, and it is now driving me crazy. Any advice?
Wow. Again, the sentence that jumps out for me here is the one where she says he's such a high earner and I'm constantly broke and I hate it when he starts talking about it. And we did a question that was a bit like this last week as well. And I'm going to say more or less what I said last week, which in my book, if marriage is about anything, and these are married, it's about sharing. It's about becoming a team. It's about, you know, I'm all for continuing to be an individual when you get married and you not necessarily change your name and keep your own interests and keep your own friends and keep whatever you want to do. But you're not flatmates. If you've made a commitment to somebody and, you know, you're going to share your lives together, and especially when you've children, you are then a team. You are not flatmates. It shouldn't matter a fig who earns the money. And I think this is particularly important for women, because it is women who generally take time out of their careers in order to facilitate having children and maybe taking some time out to be at home. Women tend to do that because of their biology way more than men do. And I think somehow with feminism and equality, we kind of have inadvertently ended up in this place where marriage has become about sharing the bills. I'll pay my half and you pay your half. Actually, I don't believe that's what marriage is about. I believe it shouldn't matter a damn who earns the money. It's not his money. It's their money. It is joint money. And I think it's very unhealthy, and I feel very strongly about this, to have separate accounts that people don't know about and to just say, I'll pay half the mortgage, you pay half the mortgage. I'll pay half the groceries, you pay half the groceries. You pay the electric and I'll pay the gas. That's not how it should work. And it disadvantages women more than men. So I think it's really important. And I mean, for this woman, they've obviously been married a few years, they've kids. It's going to be very hard for her now to kind of row back. These are the kind of things that if you're getting married out there, discuss all this before you get into this situation.
Even if you're not getting married, Barbara, like, well, women earn 70 cents on the euro.
What do you think?
He thinks Barbara is right.
I'm watching the time and I'm just thinking.
Okay, well, I think that it's a communication thing. I think that the wife not really having a clear idea of where she stands within the marriage in terms of how the resources are shared means that, for loads of reasons, structural, you know, patriarchal reasons, as well as the fact that he managed to move his career on in a different way. Plus, that, you know, I don't really believe her when she says, I'm just a kind of earn money to spend it kind of girl, because when you don't earn a lot of money, that's the way everybody is. So, do you know what I mean is if you're earning lower amounts of money, your money is spent faster. You don't have the opportunity.
But I think that's what she meant. I don't think she was meaning she was frivolous. I think she means that her money goes.
But you're basically saying, Barbara, if you're sharing a life,
you should be sharing your cash, your money.
Or, yeah. I mean, that's really important.
I couldn't get over he's excellent to pay his share of things.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like Tom, I am always constantly amazed at the amount of couples where that is how it works. Yeah. It's 50-50. That's not how it should work in my book.
It should be more socialist, what you give according to your ability and you take according to your needs.
Right. on that note, I didn't notice the difference in the coffees. I just say that.
You're as nuts as you always are. Do you know
Declan,
what I mean?
Yeah. Barbara, thank you both very much. As always, you can listen back to Barbara and Declan on the News Talk app or go to newstalk.com. In the next hour, we'll be looking at the news form of communication. But first, a quick break.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.